Okay, today's daf is in the Darim daf Lamed. We left off in daf Chaf Tes Amid Beis, three lines before the end of the page at Yosef, Rabbi Avin, Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Kamed, Rabbi Yirmiya. So we are going to first finish our discussion about someone who's makdish netios, achin nektitzu, a person who's makdish trees until they're cut down. And we're specifically going to focus on Barpada's Shita, that if a person is podes such trees before they're cut down, then they're chozros v'kochos. They keep on becoming kadosh again and again. But once you cut them down, then you could be kotzitz, you could be pod de pamachas v'dayo. Barpada held on daf chaf chesam lebeis, that then you can be pod at one time, and that would suffice. So we're first going to discuss Barpada's Shita in a little more detail, and then the Gemara is going to, starting from the Mishnah actually, on Amud Aleph, it's go from then from here until the end of the Perek, the Mishnais and the Gemaras are going to talk about when a person takes a neder against a certain type of person, who's included in that category of that type of person. So for example, the Mishnah over here in Daf Lamed Amud Aleph is going to talk about someone who takes a neder from Yordei Hayam, or from Yoshvei Hayabasha. So who's included in people who are Yordei Ayam or Yoshvei Yabasha? And on Beis, we're going to have a couple of Mishnayos. One of them is going to, we're going to have three Mishnayos rather. One of them is going to deal with someone who takes a neder from Roe Hachama, people who see the sun. So does that include blind people, not include blind people? We're going to have someone who takes a neder from Shchore Arosh, from people with blackened heads. Who does that include? Men, women, children? Who's exactly included in that neder? We're going to discuss. And then the third Mishnah on Beis is going to talk about someone who takes a neder from Yilodim. Does that mean people who are already born, who are not yet been born, who's included in such a neder? Or someone takes a neder from Noladim. So what exactly does that include? So, and that's the way the rest of the parak is essentially going to go, dealing with categories of people and who's included in the neder or not. So right now the Gemara is going to, let's begin three lines from the bottom of Chaf Tes on the base. The Gemara is going to talk about the din of Barpada, again where Barpada said that if a person is makdish trees until they get cut down, that every time he tries to be poda them before they're cut down, they become kadosh again on their own. It's only once it's cut down, then you have a one time you be poda them, and that's perfectly good. So Gemara is going to try to prove from Barpada's din how to deal with a certain suffix that Rav Oshia had in halachos of kiddushin, in halachos of marriage. So says Gemara, Yosef Rabbi Yavin Rabbi Yisrael Berebi Kamei de Rabbi Yirmiya. Rabbi Yavin Rabbi Yisrael Berebi were sitting in front of Rabbi Yirmiya to learn Torah from Rabbi Yirmiya. But Kamenam in Rabbi Yirmiya, it's a little embarrassing. The Rebbe was falling asleep. He was dozing off in the middle of the shir. So Yasviv Kamri, the Rabbi Yavin Rabbi Yisrael Berebi were sitting there and they said amongst themselves, LeBarpada da'amar, according to Barpada, who says that if a person is makdish netios until they get cut down, pidda'an chazos v'kodshos, that if you pod to them, they go and they become holy again right away anyway. So tifshot to buy Rav Hoshia, we should be able to use that din to answer the baya that Rav Hoshia raised. Because Rav Hoshia raised the following question, Hanosin shte prutos li'isha va'amrla, ba'achas hiskachi li hayom, uba'achas hiskachi li la'achas she'egar sheikh. If a person gives two prutos to a woman, normally in order to be mekadesh a woman, you need to give her one pruta. But if you choose to be mekadesh with kesef or shava kesef, but if a person gives, that's why you always see under a chuppah, the Masada Kiddushin asks the Eidei Kiddushin, does this ring look like it's worth a shava pruta? Because that's how much you need in order to be mekadesh a woman. Let's say a guy gives two prutos to a woman, and he says, you know why I'm giving you two? Because I want to marry you twice. Once right now, and once after I divorce you. And let this be the Maisa Kiddushin to remarry you after I divorce you. So the question is the person able to do that? Will that second Kiddushin be chal after the divorce already happens? So on this suffix of Hoshia, the Rabbi Yavin, Rabbi Yitzchak Berebi say, we can answer the suffix based on the din of Barpada, because just like a person is able to be makdish netios until they get cut down, and if someone comes in as poda to them before they get cut down, they go back to their kedusha. So you see, there's the possibility of being makdish something now for after it's already niftes. So it's two steps removed. Meaning, so too over here, when it comes to being Mekadesh Nisha. Of course I can be Mekadesh Nisha now, but I can even be Mekadesh Nisha later, for after she's already a Grusha. So it's the same din. So Hachanami, to have a Kiddushi. It would seem that the Kiddushin would be Chal over here. So the Gemara says, as they were going through this Cheshbon, and they were trying to bring this Raya, Travoshia's din, Travoshia's suffix from Barpada's din, Iter Buhu Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah happened to have woken up at that exact moment, and Amar Luhu, and Rabbi Yirmiyah said to Rabbi Yavin and to Rabbi Yitzchak bar Rabbi, "My kamedam misun, pedon hu lepedoyim macherim." How can you compare a situation where a guy himself is poda to a case which is Barpada's case, a person himself is poda the netios that he was makdish, to a case where other people are poda, that even if other people are poda, that their pidyon is not going to work either, and that the kedusha is going to be chal because of the original hekdish? No, you can't say that. Hachiyam Rabbi Yochanan. This is Rabbi Yochanan says that when Barpada says that the netios are not going to be yotzei l'chul and they become kodesh again, that's only pedon hu. That's only if the guy himself, who was makdish them the first time, was poda to them. Then they go back into his rishus after the pidyon. But the chozos v'kadoshos, and therefore, since after the pidyon they went into his rishus, he has the ability to be makdish them again a second time. So that's why it worked. But pidyon macherim, if someone else was poda to them, and therefore that somebody else takes ownership of it, then ain't kadosh, ain't chazos v'kodshos. You kadoshos, you can, the kedusha cannot go back from because of something that you had said prior to the pidyon. V'isha k'pidua acherim damya. And the case of a woman is like a pidua acherim, because when a man is megarish a woman, he's not taking her into his rishos. To the contrary, she's becoming her own bialim. It's completely in her rishos right now. So the essential difference, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yirmiyah pointed out to them, is that it's true in both cases you're trying to make something bichal after the current chalos is already gone. But when we're dealing with being makdish something that you yourself are going to be poda, so when you're poda, you take ownership of it again. So it makes sense that you'll have the ability to be makdish it further, that you'll have the ability right now to declare its status of kedusha in the future. But when you're dealing with being mekadesh and isha, not being makdish, mekadesh and isha, when you're dealing with marrying a woman, so it's an entirely different story. When you're megarish her, she doesn't become more yours. She's not yours at all when you're megarish her. And therefore, you don't have the capacity, you don't have the ability to be mekadesh her again. Itmar Nami, and the Gemara says, we find that there's an additional source for this chilek that Rabbi Yirmiyah pointed out. Because Am Rabbi Yami, Am Rabbi Yochanan, lo shanu ela shepidaan hu. That it's only true that the pidyon is not going to help the trees become chulin, and they're going to go back to become kadosh right away again, when the guy himself who was makdashid is the one that was poda it. Aval pidyon macherim ein chazos u'kadoshos. But if someone else was poda them, then they do not go back to being kadosh again. Now, the Ran over here writes that in a Maisa Kiddushin, a woman is not machnis herself to the Roshus of the husband. Rather, in the Maisa Kiddushin, she is mevateles da'ata uritzona. She is mevatel her own das and her own will. Umashvi nafsha etzel abal kedover shel hefker. That's the lashon of the Ran over here. She makes herself like hefker vis-a-vis the husband, and then the husband just takes her into his Roshus. Because the Torah says specifically that Kiddushin is not a double, two-sided transaction. It's ki yikach ish, not ki tilakach isha le'ish. When a man takes, just like the Gemara says in Maseches Kiddushin, Afeim Beis. So if a woman says, hareini mu'ureses lach, the Kiddushin is not chal. A woman cannot do the Maseches Kiddushin. That's the problem that many, many people have with the double ring ceremony. I think that's what Moshe writes, if I'm not mistaken, that it's a double ring ceremony could possibly the entire Kiddushin, because it reflects a complete lack of understanding of what a Maisa Kiddushin is. A Maisa Kiddushin is a Maisa that the man does on the woman. If you have a double ring ceremony and she's giving it to him, he's giving it to her, you get the impression that it's a two-sided transaction, But in fact, in halacha, based on the pasuk in the Torah, it's not a two-sided transaction. So it could even pasul the kiddushin entirely. Remember when I went to meet Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein in Eretz Yisrael, I asked him if he thought that b'diavad the double ring ceremony would pasul, and he said no. And I asked if Chasson and Kala insisted on a double ring ceremony, should the Masadic Kiddushin not do the wedding? I would never do, no way I would do a wedding of a double ring ceremony. But as I said, if anyway the other option is going to be a conservative rabbi or something like that, where you don't know that the Kiddushin is going to be done properly, that anything else is going to be done properly, so is it better to be involved? He said, yeah, better to be involved and make sure that they actually get married. Even people who aren't religious have a right to have a kosher wedding, so you should see to it that they have a kosher wedding. I was a little surprised, but that was his take. But again, that's what the Ran is highlighting over here, that the Kiddushin of a woman is not something that the woman does. Is something that the man does. Now, from Rashi in Kiddushin Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, Dibur Maskil Kiddushin Demidaita, sounds like a woman is makne herself on some level, because it says the reason Kiddushin requires das is because Beinan das makne, that whenever a kinyan is going to be chal, you need the das makne, the one who's being makne to the other party. And that's what it sounds like from the Rashba as well. But obviously, you can't say that according to the Ran. According to the Ran, it's not das makne. She's not being makne anything. She's just being mafkir herself. So Rav Baruch Ber explains in Kiddushin, to explain the sheet of the Ran, he says that by every haknah, by mekach u'memker, the makne does a haknasa l'rashus hakona. Aside from the hotzah mirushus, so getting it out of his rishus, he's machnis the item into the rishus of the kona. By kiddushin, the Torah's mechadesh that only the baal is the kona. He is the one that does the hotzah mirushus and the achnas l'rishus. But nevertheless, there's a gzeres hakaslev that he does. That even though he's doing everything, you still have a separate din of the das in order to for the Gemara Kiddushin, that she needs to have the das. Meaning, what's different by Kiddushin than by every other transaction is that whereas every other transaction, the other party is also being motzi from their own rishos and machnas into the other person's rishos, by Kiddushin, the woman doesn't do any of that. The husband is the one that's being motzi and being machnas, that's taking the woman out of her own rishos and taking her into his own rishos. But nevertheless, there is a separate din that requires das when it comes to Kiddushin. Okay, new Mishnah now. Says the Mishnah, from here till the end of the parak, we'll be talking about nedarim that people take not to get hanah from a certain type of person, a certain category, and we're going to discuss who's in that category, who's not in that category. The basic rule is, by nedarim, halacha, achar lashon b'nei adam. We always follow the lashon b'nei adam, the way people generally speak. So hanoder mi yordei hayam. If a person takes a neder that he's not going to get hanah from yordei hayam, there's a suffix in the Yerushalmi whether people who go on trips, on boat trips for pleasure, they're not going for business, not going because they have to. Stam, they like going on boats. Is that called yordei hayam? The Yerushalmi is not machria that shaila, and the Ran therefore writes over here that we should be machmir misafik. So a person takes such a neder from yordei hayam. The halacha is mutter biyoshvei hayabasha. He's allowed to get hana'a from people who do not take boat trips frequently, and so but someone who takes it because he specifically took the neder against yordei hayam. But if a person takes neder miyoshvei hayabasha, he takes neder from people who dwell on dry land, then asur miyordei hayam sheyordei hayam bichlal yoshvei hayabasha, that he's not even allowed to get hanaa from people who right then are on the sea, because even people who are on the sea right now, eventually, who are at sea, that's the expression, who are at sea right now, eventually are going to have to come back le'abasha, they're going to have to come back into dry land. So everybody, every human being is considered yoshvei hayabasha. Lo ke'elu sholchen me'akol yafo. And in general, you should know that yordei hayam does not refer to people who take a trip from Akko to Yafo, which has only one day's journey between them, and they come back quickly onto dry land. El the Risha Darkul of Faresh. No, we talk about Yorde Hayam. We talk about people who go for extended periods of time, for a great distance. That's who the Yorde Hayam are. So the Gemara tries to explain, what's that last line in the Mishnah about when we define who Yorde Hayam are? Is that going on the guy who takes the neder from Yorde Hayam, or the guy who takes the neder from Yoshe Yabasha? So the Gemara says, Machlokas. Rav Papa v'Rav Acha b'Rei Ravika, Chad Masniya Reisha v'Chad Masniya Seifa. There's a Machlokas, where to attach that line that defines Yorde Hayam as people who only go great distances. So one opinion is, we don't know which one holds what, but one of the opinions holds that the last line of the Mishnah, Loka Elu HaHolchim, is going on the Reisha, the case of the person who takes a neder from Yorde Hayam, where he's mutter b'yoshvei Ayabasha, and the other opinion says, no, it's going on the Seifa, on the case of a person who takes a neder from Yoshvei Ayabasha, where he's asr even from Yorde Hayam. So the Gemara explains how it plays out according to each shita. Man detanya Reisha, the one who taught the last line of the Mishnah to be related to the Reisha, Masni Hachi, we'll learn the Mishnah as follows. That hanoder miyorde ayam mutter v'yoshvei hayabasha. Someone takes a neder from yorde ayam, he is mutter in yoshvei hayabasha. Habiyorde ayam aser. But it sounds like when you take a neder from yorde ayam, you are taka aser, at least from yorde ayam. You mean the person you took a neder from, people who are yorde ayam, you are actually aser from. Lo ke'elu ha'holcha me'akol li'afo de'halein yoshvei yabasha ninu. And we're not talking about like those people that go from Akko to Yafo, because such people are considered yoshvei yabasha, they're not considered yorde hayam at all. Ella mimisha darkan lefaresh. No, even the guy who takes a neder from yorde hayam, where he's asur be yorde hayam, is only asur in serious yorde hayam. He's only asur in people who go on serious boat journeys, but not people who don't travel very far at all. That's if you learn it on the Reisha. Uman de Masniya Seifa, and the one that teaches this last line of the Mishnah as relating to the Seifa, Masni Hachi, will teach it as follows, that we said, Hanoder miyoshei Ayabasha, Asr biyorde Ayam. Someone takes a neder from Yoshe Ayabasha, the neder not only includes Yoshe Ayabasha, it even includes Yorde Ayam. So the Mishnah adds that which we say, that he's Asr biyorde Ayam, lo be'elu ha'holchim me'akol li'af b'vad, not only is someone who's asr biyarde ayam asr from those who take great boat trips, but not only is the type of yarde ayam that's included in the neder against Yoshe Abasha people who take very tiny trips. Even if people take giant long trips, they're still included in Yoshe Ayabasha, because everyone eventually has to come back to dry land. People can't live at sea forever. So the point is, in that last line, is that we're saying, if a person took a neder from Yoshe Ayabasha, so he said that includes Yorde Ayam, you might have thought, yeah, you know what kind of Yorde Ayam that includes? That includes the Yorde Ayam who aren't really going out on serious trips, the people who take the ferry to work every day, something like that. That's what it must include. But it can't include people who go great distances, so that's what the Mishnah comes saying. Yes, it does. It includes even people who travel very great distances. There's a discussion in Poskim. When it comes to Birchas HaGomel, the Shulchan Aruch Paskin is in ratio test, Sif Aleph and Beis, that there are four people, Arba Tzrichim Lahodos. It's based on the Gemara says like this, that there are Arba Tzrichim Lahodos. There are four people that have to give Hoda'ah, and amongst those who give Hoda'ah are Yorde Hayam, that have to bench Gomel when they come back from their boat trips. So the question the post can deal with is who exactly is considered Yorde Hayam. Let's say a person takes Staten Island ferry to work every day. Is that considered to be someone who's Yorde Hayam? So someone who's Yorde Hayam L'tayel, he just goes for a trip, he's not going for long, for any serious purpose. So it could be that he doesn't have to bench Gomel, because he's not going for a great distance. In as far as how far he has to go, so in the Tshuva's Kinyan Torah Ba'alacha Chelik Aleph Siman Tesayin, he tries to bring a raya from our sugya that someone who goes Me'akol Yafo is not considered Yorde Hayam, that even though in the Lishna Basra we paskin that someone who's noted in Yorde Hayam is also in all of the Yorde Hayam, even someone who takes a small boat trip, that's the way the second Lashon seems to come out. And even someone who's just going with Tayel, just going Stam for a little enjoyment trip, a leisure trip. Nevertheless, that's only when it comes to neder, l'chumra, who's going to be included l'chumra, but certainly l'kula, we're not going to say that we're going to allow a guy to make a birchas hagomel if he just takes a little trip. So he says someone who travels by boat from France to Britain and he goes on a boat for an hour or for whatever it is for a short period of time, he's not going to bench gomel. That's what he tries to bring a raya from our sugya. Okay, weiter in the Gemara, new Mishnah. Hanoder on Lamed on Beis, 6 lines from the top. Hanoder meroi chama, osir af besumen. If a person takes a neder, he's not going to get hana from people who see the sun. So he's not even allowed to get hana from blind people. Shalom eskabin zeh, ela lemisha chama roe osun. When a person takes a neder from people who see the sun, he doesn't really mean people who see the sun. He means people who the sun sees them. That's what he's coming to take a neder. And you have to say over here that his kavana is only to aser for a specific time period or in a specific place, because otherwise there's no way the neder could be chal. The Ran's going to say later on, if someone is nishba and a davar sheni yachal lekaimo, the shua is going to be batel. So if a person takes a neder from all roei chama, and all roei chama means all of humanity forever, that's obviously a neder that's not that cannot be fulfilled. So clearly you have to say that in some way it's limiting over here, that it's either in a specific place, all the people in a specific place, or from humanity for a short period of time, or something like that. But the Chiddush of our Mishnah is that even though you use the term Roei Chama doesn't necessarily mean people who actually see the sun, it means people who the sun sees them. So this is my time. Why would we say that Roei Chama means that the sun sees them? Because midelo kamar min haroin. If you're talking about people who had eyesight, just to tell me not blind people, then it should have said min haroin. I'm taking the neder from people who see. What's roe chama? So lafuke dagim v'ubarim. It must be that you're just trying to exclude from your neder creatures that are not yet seen by the sun. What are creatures that are not yet seen by the sun? Fish. And ubarim and fetuses. And I understand fetuses. Fetuses are inside the mother's womb, so obviously they're not seen by the sun. Why do we assume fish are something that's not seen by the sun? So this probably relates to what the Gemara says that nami zara diyosef kasina at the loshalta bei emabisha. The Gemara says in Maseches Brachos that someone who comes from the shevet of Yosef is loshalta bei emabisha, is not subject to ayin hara. Why is one not subject to Ayin Hara if he comes from Zara Yosef? Because we say, V'yid gularov, it's like Dagim Shabiyam. Ma Dagim Shabiyam, just like fish in the sea are not subject to Ayin Hara, so too the Zara Yosef is not subject to the Ayin Hara, is not subject to the damaging influence of an Ayin Hara. So I once heard from Rav Khan in YU, from Rav Aaron Khan. He said that he was in the YU Beis Medrash once, and Rav Yerucham Gorelick came running into the Beis Medrash, and when he had a chiddush, he would shake up the world, and he went and grabbed Rav Khan by the lapels, and he said, I got it, I got it, I got it, I understand why it is that the Dagim Shaviyam are not subject to Ayin Hara. Why are they not subject to Ayin Hara? Because when you're looking at the fish in the water, the way the light hits the water, and the water bends the rays of light, where you're looking, it's called refraction. The fish aren't really where you think they are. They're really a little bit over. They're not exactly in that spot. So exactly where you're looking, and you think you're seeing the fish, your ayin is actually not seeing the fish. But this is probably what it means, that the chama, what our Gemara means, that the sun, whether that's the pshat in ayin hara or not, it's probably the pshat here, that the sun does not see the fish, even the fish that are swimming close to the surface, because the way the sun's light hits the water causes the fish to not be seen in direct path. It causes the fish to sort of be seen somewhere else, somewhere that they aren't. So that's maybe the pshat over here, and why dagim specifically are excluded from that which is seen by the sun. But other bali chayim would become asur b'hana. So, but what about like rocks? If a guy took a neder from roei achama, So is he allowed to get hana from rocks and from plants? So it seems that that would not be included in the neder, the Balei Tosfos right over here, that they would not be included in the neder, because he said roe. So it sounds like something that's able to see the sun, something that's actually a live creature that can normally see things, it's just not seen by the sun. That's what you have to say. Okay, new Mishnah. Hanoder mishchorei rosh. A person takes a neder that he's not going to get hana from black-headed people, which is people who have black hair. So we'll explain. Asr b'karach, and he's not even allowed to get hana from people who are bald, u'balei sevos, and from people who are old, and therefore all their hair has already turned white. By nedarim we go achalash b'nei adam, so balei seva are also included in shcharei rosh. Old people are also included in shcharei rosh. When the Chachamim use the Lashon Shcharei Rosh, that means only young people. That doesn't mean old people. But when people, Lashon B'nei Adam, regular people use the term Shcharei Rosh, Tos Yantov points out, that means even old people. So that's how Tos Yantov writes, that there's a difference between the Lashon B'nei Adam and the Lashon Chachamim over here. So Shcharei Rosh includes bald people, old people, but umuter binashim uvektanim sheinukran shchari rosh ela anoshim. But he's allowed to get hana from women and children, because shchari rosh always refers to men; it doesn't refer to women and children. My time, why is it that someone takes a neder from shchari rosh? He's usher in bald people, even though they don't have any hair. How could you describe them as shchari rosh? Because he couldn't have just meant people with hair. If he meant just people with hair, then he should have said balei seyar, people with hair. But that's not what he said. He said shcharei rosh. Umutu b'nashimu v'ktanim sheinukran shcharei rosh ela anashim. And he's allowed to get enough from women and from children, because shcharei rosh is only men. So my time, why is it that only men are considered shcharei rosh? So Mark explains, Anashim zimnin de mekasu reishayu v'zimnin de megalu reishayu. Men sometimes cover their head, sometimes don't cover their head. So you can't call them megulei rosh or mechusei rosh. So they would call them shchorei rosh, because most men have black hair. So because you couldn't refer to them by whether they cover their hair or not, because men sometimes yes, sometimes no. So there's no way to refer to them as those who cover their head or those who don't cover their head. Aval nashim li'olam mikasu. Women always cover their head. Women have an obligation to cover their hair. And uktanim li'olam migalu. And children never cover their head. So you could just refer to children in that simpler way as people who are megale rosham. This is a fascinating gemara as it relates to the sugya of yarmulke. You know, there are a couple of gemaras in Shas that relate to the potential obligation to wear a yarmulke. For example, the Gemara Maseches Kiddushin tells us, I think Rav Acha said that he's makbid, that he tries, that he doesn't go Dalet Amos Begilei Arosh. The Gemara tells us that about one of the Amoraim, I forgot who it was already, that the Kaldai, the fortune tellers, told his mother that your son is going to be a Ganav, so she was very makbid that he would always have his head covered. And one time he was sitting under a palm tree and his hood came off of his head, and he climbed up the palm tree like a wild man and bit off a whole cluster of dates. So from those Gemaras you get the impression, and also Gemara Shabbos, one of the Amoraim says, Tesili, I deserve credit, my great Midas Chasidus is that I don't go Dal Ramos Begiloy Arosh. So you get the impression from all these Gemaras that wearing a yarmulke is a chumrah. It's a mitzvah chasidus. It's not a requirement. It's not something from our Gemara. You also get that impression, because our Gemara says men sometimes do cover their head, sometimes don't cover their hair. So there's a famous comment of the Taz, Rav Moshe's first tshuva in all of Igros Moshe is about this topic. It is about wearing yarmulke and how big a yarmulke has to be. So the famous comment of the Taz is that nowadays it's Mekar Adin that a person has to wear a head covering, because the derech of the goyim is to go with the head uncovered. So it's become chukas akum to go with your head uncovered. It's a derech of the goyim to go that way. So we don't go that way. We don't go with our head uncovered. Rav Avadia has a different take. Rav Avadia says another reason. He says, forget about chukas akum. He says, what's the way that you can immediately tell when you meet a person whether they're a shomer Torah mitzvahs or not? A guy's wearing a yarmulke, you know that he's dati. You know that he's a religious, 99%. You know that he's a religious person. That he's basically a Shomer Shabbos. A guy who doesn't wear a yarmulke, 99%. You know that you're dealing with someone who's not Shomer Shabbos, excluding those communities that never accepted that this as a din. So says Rav Avadia, if that's the case, that's what the yarmulke carries such a heavy association between those who are religious and those who are not. There's someone who's Ovid Hashem and Misha Lo Avado, so he says that then it's a Dafer Pasha, which camp a person has to put themselves in. They have to put themselves in the camp of those who are Ovid Hashem and not those who are Lo Avado, who are not Ovid Hashem. It's very fascinating, though, that the Gemara over here assumes that children don't cover their hair. Sounds like the children, what I was Magen Avraham points out in Siman Vav, Sif Kut and Beis, that children didn't cover their hair. And it could be that it's based on that the reason for this is it's explained in the Achron, and the Atzus Sachaim explains the Malbim, that Kisei HaRosh is because of Tznius. So children are not B'nai Tznius, and therefore they don't have to cover their head. But the Magen Avraham says, still they should, as a way of promoting Yerushalayim, based on that Gemara and Shabbos, Kufnun Vav, that we mentioned before, as a way of promoting Yerushalayim, they should cover their heads as well. But again, the impression that you get over here, and from the Shulchan Aruch and Yardaya, is that children didn't cover their heads. So it could be that it's talking about very young children, Shar Mitzvah Balacha suggests, but it sounds from here, really any children used to not cover their heads. Okay, next Mishnah. Hanodim mina yilodim. If a person says, I'm not going to get hanoa from yilodim, mutar banoladim. He's allowed to get hanoa from someone who will be born, because yilodim sounds like those who were already born. Mina noladim. A person says, I'm not going to get hanoa from noladim. Asr mina yilodim. He's asked to get hanoa even from those that were already born, because noladim could include those who have not yet been born and those who have already been born. Reb Meir matir af ba yilodim. Reb Meir disagrees, and he holds that he's mutter to get hanoa from those who are already born. The Chacham omrim lo niskavin zeh ela b'misha darko liyivaleid. The Chacham say no. When he says noladim, it does not mean those who will one day be born, specifically excluding those who have already been born. No, what he means to say is someone who comes into the world, derech leida, through a normal process of birthing. So it really means everybody. That's how the Ran understands this line in the Mishnah, at least. So that's how the Chachamim are the same as the Tanakama. But the Rush understands that the Chachamim of the Mishnah are cholik on the Tanakama and on Reb Meir. And the Chachamim of the Mishnah are the third Shita, and they hold that whether a person is Nodim and Ayilodim, whether he's Nodim and Hanoladim, he's also in both, because he means only Misha Darkali Yivalid. So he's always going to be Aser in both, whichever Lashon he used for his Neder. So Mar explains Reb Meir that someone who's Noder from Noladim is Mutter even by Yilodim, Af by Yilodim. So the Reb Meir, according to Reb Meir, that Af by Yilodim is Mutter. So Velomi by Noladim sounds like, and for sure he's Mutter by Noladim as well, those who have not yet been born, Elam Ivan Aser. Well, then what was the whole point of his Neder? Who's he Aser to? If he's Mutter those who have been born, and those who have not yet been born, who's he asking to? So answering Mar Chesur Mechshav Hakhtani. There must be some words missing that you have to add in over here in explanation. Hanodim mina yilodim mutar banoladim. Is someone who takes a neder from yilodim is allowed to get hanoa from those who have not yet been born. Mina noladim, a person takes a neder from noladim, asr be yilodim, is not allowed to get hanoa from even those who are already born. Rameir disagrees with the Tanakhama that someone's nodim mina yilodim is asr both, and he says, Omer, Rameir, Omer, Af Hanodim and Eladim, Mutar by Yilodim. Ki Hechid Nodim and Eladim, Mutar by Noladim. He says, someone who takes a neder from Noladim is Mutar by Yilodim, just like someone who takes a neder from Yilodim is Mutar by Noladim. So Rameir's not saying he's Mutar in everyone. He's saying he's Mutar in whatever you didn't say in your neder. So if you said in your neder Noladim, so you Mutar in Yilodim. If you said in your neder Yilodim, you Mutar bin Noladim. Good. So the Gemara asks in Reb Meir that Noladim sounds like those who will one day be born. Is that really true? Amaler of Papa Labaye, the Memer de Noladim de Misialdan Mashma. Does Noladim mean, according to Reb Meir, those who will be born in the future? Elameata, if that's the case, when Yaakov Avinu tells Yosef, Shnei Banecha hanoladim lecha be'eretz Mitzrayim, your two sons that were nolad in Eretz Mitzrayim. Yaakov says to Yosef, ad boy lecha Mitzrayim, before I came to Mitzrayim, lihem Ephraim and Menashe kruvin v'shimon yeli. He's referring to Ephraim and Menashe explicitly. The pasuk says, hachinami tisyaldanu. Is Yaakov saying children that will be born? He specifically identifies Ephraim and Menashe, Menashe and Ephraim, as those children. So how can you say it means someone that will one day be born? So Gemara says, Belamai, so what do you want to say? Then Nolad means those who have already been born. Elamayat, if that's the case, you have a problem with a different pasuk. Tichsiv, the pasuk says in Malachim Aleph, Hine vein Nolad leveis David, Yoshiyahu Shemo. There will be a child born to the Beis David, and this is in the Nevuah of Edo, the Navi of Yeravam ben Nevat, the Navi that was being Navi to Yeravam ben Nevat at the time when he was Makdi to Avodah Zarah on the Mizbeach. So Edo, the Navi, says that there will be a son born to David, and Yoshiyahu is his name. Hachin Hamid Hava. So what, you want to say that Yoshio was born already? Vaday Menashe Loba. Even Menashe, Yoshio's grandfather, wasn't yet born at that time. So obviously Yoshio wasn't born yet. So you see that when, just because it uses the word nolad, it doesn't, you can't say that it means he who has already been born. Granted, you get that impression from the pasuk by Menashe and Ephraim, but you get the opposite impression from the pasuk about prophesizing about Yoshio's birth. So the Gemara says, Ella, what you have to say is that you can't prove anything from the pasukim. Mashmahachi and mashmahachi. The pasukim could go either way. And ubinadarim, banidarim though, halach, achar, lashon b'nei adam. We always follow the lashon b'nei adam. And lashon b'nei adam is that noladim means, whatever people call noladim. And that's the machlokes Tanakama and Rameir. And according to the Tanakama, lashon b'nei adam is that noladim means those who have been born and those who will be born. And according to Rameir, it means only those who will be born. Now the Mishnah also said that according to the Chachamim, someone who's nodim min hanoladim is aser both in those who were born and those who will be born. So the Mishnah includes v'chamam, and the Chachamim say, lo neskavin ze ela b'mi shedark, ela mi shedark b'li valid. That all he meant to say in his neder is people who usually have children, or the derech is that they have offspring. So lafuke mai, who is that coming to include? Who is not darkoli valid? Lafuke dagim va'ofos. It comes to include fish and birds because they don't have regular leida. They come out of an egg. They hatch from an egg, and therefore that's what he means to exclude. But that's it.